You know, how many of you know that God is at work in the midst of difficult circumstances? Whatever's going on in the world, whatever's going on in America, whatever is going on in our lives, God is at work. And I want to invite you here to a passage in which we are in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. And look at Jesus. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Now remember, as we've been studying through what a parable is and what the parable's meant to be for Christians and also for the unbelievers, Jesus goes on to explain the purpose of the parables. And then he said to them something about lamps and something about lights. And obviously he's saying that a lamp is not to be under a basket or under a bed, but actually on a table, on a stand. And nothing supposed or should be hidden except to be made manifest. And you know, when we talk of Christ, Christ came to give the way of life and to explain everything and to expose everything. And it says, "Nor is anything secret except to come to light." Now the Bible says that one day everything is going to come to light. Everything. Now for now, in the time in which we live, many people are living in darkness. And many people is under confusion and under the attack of the enemy. We don't understand everything. But then he says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." So this is, you know, very proper here. As Daniel and Rachel were coming, I was thinking, you know, the gospel is the light. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the light. Why? Because the gospel brings the life of Jesus and the purpose of Jesus into manifestation. And so when we look at the gospel, and I was thinking about this lamp and this light, when we look at the gospel of Jesus Christ is a privilege and the responsibility that we have as Christians. And first of all, the privilege, because in Christ we have been we have been given the freedom and the understanding of who we are and what's going on everywhere. Christ is the light of the world. Now, in John chapter 1, verse 9 through 12, the Bible says that Jesus is the light. Look what it says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." So Jesus is the one who came, and he came to give light. He came to expose in the midst of the darkness what's going on. And it says, he came to give light to everyone. He was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Jesus, the creator of the universe, he was in the world in some way, and he came to the world to give life to everyone. And he is the only true light. So when we talk about a lamp or when we talk about light, we got to understand that the origin of light or lamp here is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus Christ being revealed. Now it also says here, he came to his own and his own people did not receive him. And then look in verse 12, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That light, the light of Jesus Christ, is giving us a privilege to know who we are and what the future is bringing and what's going on in the world. I mean, talk about light and talk about darkness in our time. You think we live in a time of a lot of darkness? Confusion? I mean, this is, and as they were sharing with us, this is a year and a time of, if we want to explain it or say it like that, of confusion. And everybody is going on with their own agenda. I mean, if you want to talk about agendas, talk about political agendas. Talk about the green agenda or environmental agenda. Talk about taxes. This is a time to talk about that. Talk about health. Talk about, I mean, everybody is trying to bring their own agenda up to the surface. But you know, for us Christians, we have the truth. And the truth is in Christ. Christ is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. Not only that, the Bible says He is the light. And when light comes and appears and is manifest in things, we see and we know what's going on. Now, for us Christians, you know, one thing that we need to understand through everything that is going on is, in Christ, we know where we are and we know where we're going. Amen? Not only that, we know who we are and what is our purpose with that. So Christ comes, and through Him, we have received the right or the authority to be children of God, to be His sons and daughters. So we have a privilege, the privilege that we get in the light through Jesus Christ. And in that, you know, not only we have the light, but we become the light of the world. Now, sometimes when we say that, it's challenging, and we say, how can I not only be exposed to the light, because the light exposes my needs and my deficiency and my sins and my wants and everything that I need to continue on, but then in the same way, God wants me to not only receive the light, but become the light. And in this, you know, I want to share a couple things here. We receive the privilege to be exposed by Christ's truth and to be changed by that light. But also, we receive the light to go forth and to share that light with others. Now, when we talk about sharing the light, very often we say, well, look, how can I do that? How can I become a light in my own strength when I am so incompetent and insufficient and I struggle with so many things in my life? But you know what? The reason why we are the light in Christ, it's not because we are perfect, but because we have the light with us. Amen? And that light is Jesus Christ. Now, as we hear the testimony of Daniel and Rachel, and they're over there in the midst of confusion and in the midst of needs and in the midst of darkness, really, God has called them to not only be in the light of Christ, but to shed that light with other people around them. And sometimes we feel that there is pressure, overwhelming pressure. Sometimes we feel like we don't have the ability to do that. Sometimes we feel like, Lord, how can I, when in my own nature and in my own humanity, can overcome certain things or struggle with certain things, how can I be that light to people who is in darkness? The thing that we have to do is bring people to the light. The true light is Christ. Amen? What we started here by reading is in John 1:9, Jesus is the true light. And so therefore, we receive that privilege of being in the light, but also that privilege of bringing people to the right light, or to the only light, or to the true light. So in Christ, not only we have that privilege, but in Christ we have the call to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and be light to others. That's how we put the light of Christ on top of the stand or of the table. Now I want to invite you to see this illustration here of a man who was living in darkness. And I was thinking about Paul in Acts chapter 26. Chapter 26 of the book of Acts. And let me share with you a couple of things that challenged me. Now, there was a time when in the life of Paul was everything that a man wanted to be. He was a Pharisee. He was of the lineage of Benjamin. He was an irreprehensible man. I mean, he had all the credentials to be someone. But then when he came to Christ, he was exposed by the light. And that light made him realize one thing. He was the chief of sinners. Remember? He said, you know, I was a persecutor of the church. I was doing my own thing. And I was going to Damascus. And when I was going to Damascus, look in verse... Actually, we're going to pick it up in verse 12. 26:12. It says, in this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest at midday, O king, and I saw on the way a light from heaven. I mean, talk about a man who was in darkness and all of a sudden was exposed by the light. He's going to Damascus. He's raging with fury and angry about Christians who are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's got letters from the synagogue, from the temple and from the chief priest, and he's going to every synagogue and he's going to every town and he's arresting Christians and he's bringing them in chains to Jerusalem or to prison. But when he's going over there, you know, completely against the will of the Lord, he saw a light from heaven. Have you seen that light from heaven? Have you seen it? I mean, we were reading it in 1 John. I mean, in the Gospel of John chapter 1. To his own he came, but his people... He came to his own, but his own people did not receive him. I mean, a lot of people reject the light of Christ. And we know why. John 3 tells us. The light has come to them, but they dwell in their own works and they don't want to be exposed. So their works are evil and therefore they want to be in darkness. But now here we have Paul, and this is obviously a supernatural miracle. And he says that light was brighter than the sun that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, when somebody's against the gospel, or against the church, or against the will of the Lord, he is persecuting God himself. If you read that right there. In that, you know, when we have opposition, we got to realize the opposition is not mainly against us, but it's against the will of the Lord. And if God is with us, who can be against us? Amen? Now, sometimes we take it personal, but, I mean, I'm going in other roads here. I want to just continue with the thing, but let me continue here. It says in verse 14 still, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And look what happens here in verse 16. But rise and stand upon your feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you. So there's a commandment in the life of Paul right away to rise upon his feet. And there's a purpose of God given to him right there. And he's appointed as a servant first and as a witness to the things in which he has seen at this point in time and those in which the Lord is going to appear to him. And then he says in verse 17, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. In that purpose that I am giving you, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to guard you, and then I'm going to send you to these people. And look what it says in verse 18, and this is what made me realize of what we're talking here this weekend, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light. We're talking about light, amen? To open their eyes. Whose eyes? The eyes of the Gentiles. Who are living in darkness, obviously, because that's what it says. And to turn from darkness to light, and darkness is the power of Satan, and to be turned to God, or freed to the will of God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins, and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So as we look into this, Paul is talking, and I'm going to come back to this verse 16 and 17 and 18 and just kind of see all the commandments that Paul receives right there. But look in verse 19. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declare first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. And always, when we go to the gospel, regardless of the place where we go, we are called to repentance. We are called to be repentant of our sins, and also to be forgiven by God in that order. And then to be witnesses or servants of Christ for the same gospel by which we were changed. Now look what it says. So, for this reason, the Jews seize me in the temple and try to kill me. And to this day, I have the help, because God promised that help to Paul. I have the help that comes from God. And so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said will come to pass. That the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he will proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. So Christ is the light. And if we are ministers of Christ, we are ministers of light. Amen? And if we are ministers of light, in our ministries, we are going to expose people in the midst of their darkness, and we are going to call sin, sin. Amen? And we are going to call justice, justice, and righteousness, righteousness. And yes, we are going to call people under idolatry, but through everything, we're going to bring the love and the freedom of Jesus Christ to the people that is living in darkness. Now what we see here is an amazing thing. We receive the light, and the light exposes everything. Everything that is going on in the world, everything that is going on with us, everything that is taking place in the world, and everything that is going to take place in the rest of the future. I mean, in everything that is going on here, we are excited. I mean, you know, one thing and one problem that I wanted to just kind of think through this and share through this message is there is a risk that in the midst of this time of COVID and the pandemic and everything that is going on in our country, we lose the importance of being focused in missions. Now, missions is not just in India. Amen? Praise God for Daniel and Rachel. But missions is in our neighborhood. Amen? Missions is in our job sites. Amen? But one thing that has happened through this coronavirus era is that we have been isolated, right? And you go to your own business, you stay from a distance with people, and now you have a mask, and even when you try to talk, I mean, people don't even understand what you're trying to say, right? I mean, now I feel some empathy from people, you know, with my accent. Sometimes people don't understand. But now nobody understands each other because of the mask. So you have to pull the mask and try to speak and try. And let me tell you, this is a risk for us Christians to keep that light that has been given to us to ourselves instead of saying, you know what? I still have a purpose and a mission in my life. And it's a purpose and a mission that has been given to me by the light of Jesus Christ. I mean, if we have the gospel of Christ with us, there's only one command to us. Amen? To proclaim it. Let me just, don't go away from Acts 26, but let me just go to 1 John chapter 1. And look what happened to the disciples and apostles and everyone who really got exposed by the gospel. And John is sharing in this letter that actually the whole chapter, which is a small chapter, speaks about this word of life or the light, which is also Christ. And it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Look at John. John says, we heard and we have seen and we have heard of these things from the beginning. And we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. I mean, if you have seen the light, and if Christ is in you, look in verse 2, the life was made manifest and we have seen it. And testify, the life was made manifest and we have seen it. And testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. The responsibility of a Christian when he receives the gospel is to continue proclaiming what he has received. And look what he continues to say here. He says, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And look what he continues to say in the next few verses here. He says, this is the message that we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, now, if you're reading here, and you get to this point, and if you're reading, you say, okay, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, you start thinking, what is the apostle about to tell us here? Look what he says. We have fellowship with one another. If we've seen the light, and if we walk in the light of Christ, one thing, simple but powerful and profound thing that happens right away is that we want to have fellowship with Christians. Amen? With brothers and sisters in the Lord. Are we isolated? We're looking to not be isolated. Amen? We're looking to grow with one another, to proclaim to one another, to exhort one another, and to be of some blessing to one another. And then look what it says, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I mean, you believe in the light, you walk with your brothers and sisters in fellowship, and by the grace of God, we are clean from all sin. If we say we have no sin, It's not that we have become perfect and therefore we are the light. No. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say we are perfect and therefore we are the light. So when we go on saying we're Christians and we have received the light, then we are the light. We're not saying we're perfect. Amen? We're not, because we're not. In fact, what he's saying here is, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. He's faithful to forgive us our sins, and he is just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have no sin, we have made him a liar and his word is not in us. And so you see the same pattern. In everyone who encountered the light of Jesus Christ, they want to proclaim it. And they want to give it to others. And they want to share that light with people. Now going back to Acts chapter 26, let me just invite you back to verse 16 and look at the application of how we are to do this, to be people who bring the light, the light of Christ up to the stand or to the table, rather than hiding it under the basket or the bed. In verse 16, this is the command of Jesus Christ to Paul. Rise and stand upon your feet. This is all commandments. How many of you have seen the light again? Have you seen the light of Christ? Rise. Rise up and stand upon your feet. That's what it means. There is an opportunity now in your life because you have the life of Christ. And in that opportunity that has been given to you, a window of opportunity, whether in India or in your job site or in your neighborhood or in this area in which we are in America, you need this position. That disposition is, are you ready to do the will of the Lord? Now remember, Paul is in the ground. They fall to the ground and the light was shining there. In fact, he's blind at this point in time because of the light that he saw blinded him. In Acts chapter 9, the commandment of the Lord is rise up and go to such and such address, and somebody's going to go and pray for you right there so that you receive healing. And after you receive healing, you're going to be able to proclaim the truth. But you know, before you start doing it, you have to rise up. You have to go up. You have to be willing to take the opportunity and also to be in this position in the midst of every situation to share the gospel. Now, let me tell you, as I was listening from Daniel and Rachel, you know, not only tonight, but throughout the week when we met, one of the things that I saw is that God gave them opportunity. God gave you opportunity in the midst of this season. An opportunity that they didn't have before. Do you think we have an opportunity that we didn't have before in 2019? I think so. I think we have a better opportunity right now. People is desperately looking for truth and looking for direction. And so we need to seize the opportunity, but we need to rise up and we need to stand up and we need to proclaim the gospel. Then look at the next thing. For I have appeared to you for this purpose. There is a purpose. There is a plan. God has worked this plan, and God is sovereign, as Daniel was sharing with us. He is sovereign over everything. And if we go because we go, we have the opportunity. If we don't go because we don't go, we have a different opportunity. But in every area, we have an opportunity because there is a purpose of God. And God has appeared to us for that purpose. To appoint you a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me. So there is an appointment to be a servant and a witness of God to the things that we see Him doing in us. And one of the ways in which we proclaim the gospel is our personal testimony. See, it's amazing to me that this is actually the third time in the book of Acts that the testimony of Paul is given. And now, Luke is writing and penning these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But he writes the testimony of Paul. And what I'm thinking here, every time Paul had an opportunity, you know what he did? He shared the story of his life. He shared how God came to the rescue in the midst of darkness. And he says, I mean, here he is making a defense for why he's in prison with King Agrippa. And rather than saying, you know, I'm accused wrongly here, he goes on to share his whole testimony. And I thought, Lord, That's what we need to do. And that's what actually God charged him to do. I appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things in which you have seen me, and those in which I will appear to you. Now, at this point in time, he's sharing with the people in the court what God had already done in him. But then later on, you know, 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Thessalonians and all that, Paul shares more things that God showed to him later. But at this point in time, he's going with this testimony. And then look what he says, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles. And he shares, you know, it doesn't matter that I'm in prison. I am free. I am free. I am free to share the gospel. I am free to do what God has called me to do, because he told me that even though I am in chains right now, he has delivered me from you guys, and actually sent me to you at the same time so that I can proclaim to you. Now, isn't that something amazing? Because the people that is around Paul think he's in prison. Amen? And they think, we got him, and there's nothing he can do. But just as God promised, he said, I will deliver you from these people, and at the same time, I'm going to send you to these people to proclaim the truth of the gospel. I mean, not only they are protecting him there, but they're giving him food to eat, right? And then, at an appointed time, they bring him out so that they can have church in court. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's amazing. That's the way the gospel works. And so what we need to do is seize the opportunity. And we need to say, Lord, you are placing me here in the right spot to share the gospel and the message of truth. And so that is my challenge today. You know, we are obviously in different circumstances right here in Winter Park Christian Church. And one of the things that we need to do is use the opportunity in which we are. With everything going on, you know, what is my time? My time is to share the word of God, to seize the opportunity and share my testimony and what the Lord is doing in our midst. But in the same way, every one of us has been appointed by God to be a witness of the things that God has done in us. And he has given us the right place, and he's delivering us from the people and from whatever circumstance we may think we're trapped, and he's giving us the command to preach to the people around us. And what is the result of this? Look at the result here in the passage. To open their eyes. How do we open the eyes? With the light of the gospel. So that they may turn from darkness to light. We open the eyes of people with the truth of the gospel. And once they see what's going on, they will move from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan to God himself. And that really tells us something. The whole world is under the evil one. Amen? And you know, to have the truth of God in us, and to know that in the midst of all these things that are happening, you know, there's a lot of people going in the wrong direction, without any hope, enslaved to sin, enslaved to idolatry, enslaved to fear of what's going to be, you know, after this season. Enslaved to their own worriness and to their own anxiety. And enslaved to finances. And enslaved to the political battle that is going on out there. You know, in the gospel, we are free. Amen? We are free. And then look what the result also continues to be. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. The freedom of being forgiven. And a place among those, which is in the church, who are sanctified by faith in me. So you will be free of sin, and you will be with Christians in the church, belonging to the church, and to those who are sanctified by faith in me. Just by believing and trusting that I have opened the way of the gospel for you. So, you know, as we think of these things, we praise God. And I want to challenge you today. It doesn't matter where you are or the circumstances that you have in front of you. You can and you are given the light to share that light with other people. And as you look in Mark chapter 4, the light that we have is to be exposed and to be put on a stand. And one day, Paul says, the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to expose everything, whether good or evil. And everything is going to be brought to judgment. But in the meantime, as we have that light, we want to rescue people from darkness into light. Amen? the light of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask Daniel and Rachel to come. And you know, just as we pray for them, we pray that God will guide them, protect them, and direct them in everything they're doing. You know, they have two girls, and obviously they're busy. You can see. I mean, I don't know if you... I was looking at some pictures of them coming back, and even to travel is a challenge with little ones in the midst of everything. But, you know, let's pray for them, and let's pray that God will anoint them and guide them to do what He's called them to do. And in the same way that we pray for them, let's pray that we stand up in truth and in freedom to do the same thing here where we are. Heavenly Father, we pray for Dan and Rachel, and we pray, Lord, that You will give them grace, Lord, to continue to do what they do, Lord. Lord, to be a missionary, to be an apostle, to be someone who witnessed, Lord, about You, the miracles that You have done in their lives, Lord. I pray that the passion and the power of Your Holy Spirit will be in them completely, continually, Lord. And that they will be anointed, Lord, to go forth and to bring those people, Lord, to Your knowledge, to the knowledge of Your truth, Lord. Allow them, Lord, not only to use this opportunity and this time for Your kingdom, Lord, but allow them to grow, Lord, in You, in Your word, and to be together, to be united as a husband and wife, Lord, and also as a family. Protect their marriage, Lord. I know that it's very challenging when we minister, Lord, sometimes to stay connected and to stay in tune, Lord, with one another. But I pray that they will grow in their relationship with You and in their relationship with one another. Protect them, Lord, and allow them to be free, Lord, to share the gospel, Lord, with people around them. And allow them, Lord, not only to be free, but to bring that freedom to others, Lord. They live in the midst of a need that we have no understanding here in America, Lord. But yet You have given them the heart and the passion, Lord, and the willingness to be sacrificing a lot of things, Lord, that we're pursuing and seeking here, Lord, for Your kingdom. And Lord, we understand that not only they have a mission field in front of them, we do have a mission field in front of us, Lord. And we want to be ready to proclaim the truth and to stand up in freedom, Lord, and to be obedient to You. Lord, give them protection in their way back. Give them wisdom in every decision they take. Provide for them and allow us, Lord, as a congregation to pray continually for them and to support them in every way, Lord, as they make their way into these areas, into these masses that need to hear Your gospel and Your truth. In Your mighty name, Jesus, we pray for them. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen.